Good morning, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them I'm alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic about life. I love it. I like it. You know, it's a good thing. We're all coming together, positive, loving, committed, dedicated people to the truth, coming together to worship and serve and enjoy one another. That's a good thing. You know, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about spiritual laws for living. And I think it's time that we actually talk about the one principle that makes it all worthwhile, the apex of our beingness, which is life, divine life. And it must be the theme because Reverend Deanna's going to be talking to you about constructing, handcrafting your life. And that wonderful singer spoke about letting our light shine into the world, putting our essence and our life out there. So when that happens, I always think that God's at work. So there's a message for somebody here about divine life and your life. You know, life is the one thing that we say we hold dear, right? Don't we say we hold it? We deem that it's precious and it's valuable. And yet, we experience it or live it so unconsciously. We say, it's precious to me. And then we sleepwalk through life. We waste it on getting caught up in the minutiae of life, in the inconsequential things of life, that if we looked at, they really don't matter in the overall scheme of things. Let's face it, some of us can't even remember what happened yesterday. But yet, while it was happening, we were so caught up in the drama of it, weren't we? We don't remember it, but we were caught up in it yesterday. See, in the inconsequential things, we let worry and fear and anxiety and dread drain us of life's vitality. We let those things drain us of energy. We're even confused about its purpose and meaning. Haven't you ever asked, what is the purpose and meaning of life? Cliff is going to have a seminar on helping us define our divine purpose in life. Reverend Deanna is going to talk about constructing our lives. But sometimes we're confused about even the purpose of life. And its meaning, what does it really mean? And then when our time in this dimension draws to a close, we feel that it's all too short. Then life becomes short. So what is this thing that we call life? Well, after science tells us about cells and DNA strands and genomes, and after philosophers and poets and writers, theologians share and add their view and their perspective, after all that, I believe that it boils down, in my humble estimation, to this simple thing, that life is simply the Spirit of God in expression. It's the Spirit of God in expression. Now, when we think about life, we say, well, man has certainly found a way to reproduce it, because we can reproduce life. We do it all the time anyway in terms of us coming together and having children. We reproduce life, and Genesis tells us that that's part of our divine nature and our ability to reproduce life. You remember I read last week in Divine Order, I talked about how Spirit said in Genesis 1 that he would give trees and plants and that they would be able to bear seed-bearing fruit after its kind. And that humans, of course, would also be able to bear seed after what? Its kind. So we have the ability to reproduce life. And science has even taken that a little further, because not only that, but we're also trying to reproduce and clone life, right? To manufacture life. And we can do that, be with plants or animals, and dare I say, even humans. But even with all of that, you see, it still comes down to spirit. The spirit of God in action, in expression. Because while we can manufacture life, we can create hybrids of wonderful fruit and crossbreds and create some new flowers and wonderful things. Even though we can manufacture a certain aspect of life, the scripture reminds us that it is the breath of the Almighty that gives life. Have you ever read that one? It comes from Job. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives life. Meaning then that it is the breath of God, the spirit of the living God that makes life divine, that gives life its divine quality, because we can create life. You see, there's life, and then there's divine life. And divine life belongs to God. Try as we might, we're not going to be able to create divine life. We can create a hybrid, a crossbred of life, but divine life is something far different. It belongs to God. It speaks to the essence and the quality and the spirit, the animating force in the universe, the breath of the Almighty that gives life, that brings things to life. Jesus said, look, he said, I came that they might have life and have it how? More abundantly. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And I began to think, well, what was he talking about? What did he mean by that? Because after all, people had life when he came, right? They had life before he came. They had life while he was with them. And we still have life today. So what did he mean by that? He must have been then speaking of something more than just physical existence, physical life. You know, so many of us think that we're living just because we're here, right? We're living just because we're here. But there must be something more than physical existence. And I believe that he was trying to get the people to consciously connect to that transcendent essence, that transcendent quality of life that is beyond the physical. He had to be talking about something beyond the manifest realm of life. Because he said, I came that they might have life. Okay, we have it, but then more abundantly. And so he wanted us and them to know perhaps the things of God, the essence of God as life, as energy and substance and wisdom, divine intelligence, as hope and faith and love and joy and peace and the presence of God, these things and qualities of God. Because this is what the abundant life is all about. It is peace. It is love. It is life. It is wisdom and knowledge and illumination. It's power. It's presence. This is the abundant life. Because the abundant life is not necessarily about more money or more things. Although those things certainly can make life easier, and there's nothing wrong with having them. That's fine. But the abundant life is about touching and grasping the finer and deeper essence of life that puts you in direct contact with God and the things of God. And it puts you in direct contact with God as the source of life itself. That's what the abundant life is about. You see, we have things, and they had things during that time, but we mistake the things that we find in this world as the source of our lives, of our happiness, right? Oh, my source that enables me to live is my job, or to live well is my job. Or it might be the types of food we eat or whatever. He's saying the abundant life is going to put us in touch with God at a deeper level where we recognize God as source of all life, of our life. To go to that source. And Jesus, through his life, through his activities, through his miracles, through his death, and through his resurrection, of course, showed us that there's another dimension to life. In order to be able to produce the miracles to walk on water, to feed the multitudes, to produce manna from heaven, to resurrect his body. There had to be another dimension than just the physical manifest realm and world, the world that we can see and touch and move around in. That there's another, a higher dimension than the physical plane, a spiritual dimension. And that's what he wanted them and us to see. Because you see, if we could, friends, if we could touch the spiritual realm in this physical expression, then we could bring heaven on earth. You see, then we could heal the body and the mind. We could feed the masses. We could do even greater works than he did. If we could somehow touch the spiritual realm in this physical expression. And that's what it's all about. Because if we can be in tune with the infinite essence of life, then our lives would begin to flow with greater ease. They begin to flow and unfold with ease. And wouldn't you like to be in the flow of life? Wouldn't you? I mean, really. Wouldn't you like to just simply flow with life? Your life to just simply move along? Wouldn't you like to be free of all struggle and stress and strain? I know I would. I'm serious. I'd like to be free of that. Because you see, most of our struggle, most of our conflict, most of our emotional pain comes from the fact that we are resistant to life. Believe it or not, we resist life. We are resistant perhaps to some spiritual essence or principle or law of life. And we talked about way back what happens when you try to resist or break a spiritual law. What gets broken? We do. And that's where our conflict and our pain and our struggle comes from, because we're trying to resist some spiritual principle, spiritual law, or life itself. Or the conflict comes because we're holding on to some misrepresentation of life, about life. Oh, God, this is life is terrible. Look at the way things are today. It's hard. Life is terrible. People are doing all these things, and so we get hung up on this is a cruel, harsh world. And we believe that that's the way it is. Or maybe we experience struggle and conflict and strife because we're holding on to some misunderstanding of others, misunderstanding of life, about other people and situations and cultures. Oh, it's different. They're different. They're not breathing the same air we're breathing. Like blood is not flowing through their body like it's flowing through ours. I heard something on TV that said, you know, that we are all 99.9% alike. Everybody on the planet is alike. And the differences amount to that one teeny percent. But yet we have a perception that we're all just somehow different. And if we're different, then we got to be better. More special, right? I'm more unique. I'm better than. But we're all alike. We're doing the same thing. And we let fear and misunderstanding and ego get all in the way. What happens is then we always seem to be fighting against something instead of flowing with something. Don't you feel like sometimes you're just fighting against something? See, instead of flowing with life, we're fighting against something instead of flowing with something. Because you see, there is a flow to life, a natural flow to life. Life is always moving. It's always unfolding, and it will and must flow upward and onward, because that's the natural progression of life. It has to move, because the quality of life is movement, animation. It has to move, and so it's always going to be moving upward and onward. That's the progression of life. And if we truly understood the facet of divine order that I spoke about last week, then we truly would begin to understand, to know, and to trust that things will unfold in divine order. We wouldn't have to worry and struggle about how they're going to turn out. We would know. And then what would happen is that these things would begin to flow naturally towards the good. Because all things flow naturally toward that which is highest and best, if you understand divine order, right? That is, divine life always moves or flows towards God, towards the good, That's the progression. And if we understood it, then we wouldn't worry about what's happening in our lives. We know that eventually it's going to move us toward what? The good. God as life pulls us towards life, towards God, towards the goodness, his essence and being. And so what we have to do is stop seeing ourselves as separate and apart, seeing our lives even as being separate and apart from God life. Because in truth, there's only one life, and it is God life. We've got to stop seeing ourselves separate, because you see, when we see ourselves separate and apart somehow from God, then we begin to believe that we have to do it, that is life, all on our own. We have to do life on our own. And when we mistakenly believe that we are doing life on our own, and some of us think we're doing it on our own, when we believe that, then we try to control it, right? Because if it's up to you totally, then you've got to control it, manipulate it, and we might even try to master it. And that's fine. But you see, if we're in tune with it, then what happens, life would simply begin to unfold. And that's what I want to, that's what grace moves in. I want to begin to unfold with life, see, naturally. And that happens when we're in tune with it. But because we're wonderful, not only spiritual beings, but we inhabit this human dimension, we get in the way. We get in the way. How many of you know that you are in your own way? Come on, that's right. Be honest. You're in your own way. Because anytime we experience limitation on any level, we're in our own way. Anytime that we are fearful, what we're doing is we're putting on the brakes, we're stopping or trying to stop the flow. When we're angry and fearful, when we're resistant to change, we're stopping the flow. Because things are going to change. Your life is going to change. Change is a natural part of the experience of life. If life does not change, it is stagnant. And if it is stagnant, it is what? It is dead. But so when we are resistant to change, I like my life just the way it is. Well, that's nice. But it is not going to stay that way. Resistant to change. And when we do that, we're stopping the flow, you see. Whenever we're angry, when we're jealous, when we're judgmental, when we're dishonest, when we're insecure, when we are thinking limited thoughts, when we're controlling, when we're unconscious, we are stopping or blocking the flow of life. And we're blocking the movement of spirit in our lives. Because you see, spirit is always trying to move us to our greater good, to greater heights. But we're putting on the brakes. And the reason that we seem to be getting nowhere or spinning around in circles is because not only do we have our feet on the brakes, but we're also driving unconsciously. It's called driving while unconscious. Right? We're moving through our lives unaware, friends. We're unaware of the powerful and the compelling flow of spirit. Unaware of the divine flow of life, the natural progression. And so we've got to take our feet off the brake and wake up and move into the flow. Divine life is calling us forward. It always calls us forward. Life's call is forward, onward, upward. It is never backwards, right? It's always forward. Because you see, we're meant to be in that flow. We are meant to grow, to expand our awareness and our understanding of life, to be able to really feel as if we're changing and moving. Do you feel like you're growing, that you've made some deep steps in growth in your life? Or are you kind of standing still? Standing still in your life, caught up in the monotony of the daily routines that we experience. Are you doing life like you're doing time? Like you've been given a life sentence, right? Sometimes we're doing life like it's some kind of sentence of hard labor and misery and struggle and stress and life is hard. See, but that's sort of like Old Testament thinking, that hard harshness to life. Because in the Old Testament, it would seem that God has sentenced us to life, right? A life of punishment and imprisonment, a life that's harsh because of our disobedience or whatever, sentenced to God's anger and his wrath. But we're in the New Testament era, and Jesus demonstrated that God sentenced us to life, abundant life, eternal life, life that's filled with the blessings and the goodness of God. But we've got to claim it. We've got to claim it, we've got to affirm it, and we have to live it. See, the only way to do life, friends, is to embrace it in all of its stages and phases. You got to embrace it. And that revelation, I must say, has come to me. This is probably more personal than you want to know, but I have been at a stage in my life where I have been in denial. And I used to say I'm consciously in denial about moving into the natural stage of my growth in my womanhood. And so I say, well, I am not having any kind of experience other than peace and calm and love, and my body is whole and well. And I've been in denial for a long, long time, right? Well, this weekend, I've been having hot flashes about every 15 minutes. Now, I've had them before, but I wouldn't admit to it, okay? And it came to me as I was writing, and I mean, this whole weekend, seriously, this is like every 15 minutes, and I was like, whoa, I mean, I'm walking around in my underwear, just taking off stuff and putting on stuff, and woo! And what it came to me was, I said, you know, before when it was sporadic, I could sort of deny it, but every 15 minutes. But then as I was writing this talk, and I said, you know what, Sylvia? You are actually trying to deny your life. That this is a stage, whether I like it or not, that comes to every woman if you live a certain long enough. So while I don't want to necessarily affirm that I have to have that as my experience, because it was like woof, but I don't want to claim it as my experience, but I don't also want to deny my life and a phase of life. I want to be able to, I said, you know, I'm not embracing what you have given me, God, which is life, to be able to live this long in this body. And I began to praise my body, and I began to give thanks for my life and to embrace it, because if I don't want to move through the phase, that might mean I don't want to continue with my life. And so I began to embrace it. You see, friends, you have to bring your life to life. You have to do that. And you've got to live it consciously, fully, and passionately. You got to bring life, your life, to life. Because life is animated. It's filled with pure energy. It has a dynamic quality of being to it, or else it wouldn't be life. It has spirit to it. And if you want to bring something to life in your life, that means you have to put your spirit in it. Right? Otherwise, it's dead. Otherwise, it'll remain unfulfilled. If you want to bring something in your life, to bear, to manifestation, that means that you've got to put your whole spirit in it, your heart, your faith, your love, your light, your attention, your intentions, your motivation, your commitment, your direction, your force of will and word. You got to bring it to life. That's putting your spirit in it. And when you put your spirit into something, what you're doing is you are calling forth the divine life force or spirit of God. And when we consciously touch the spirit of God, friends, guess what? Things come into being. Things come to life. When you touch that living spirit of God within you and you touch it and you claim it, then things come to life. That's how it works. And they come into being at their highest and natural level. And because we, friends, are co-creators with God, and because we are always working, the law of mind action, the law of cause and effect is always in operation, then we might want to make sure that we are always connecting our thoughts, our feelings, our minds to the things of spirit. Otherwise, you'll create simply a mess in your life. If you want that more abundant life that Jesus spoke about, then you got to consciously connect with the things of God. You've got to call forth divine life, divine life. You have to identify with divine life, not the life that you see out here, but divine life. Identify with your identity of your divine self, because that's what Jesus did. When he said, look, I am the Son of God, he was identifying with his divinity, that divine quality of his life, of his beingness. And he was so identified with that aspect of himself, friends, that he actually unlocked the mystery of life. He unlocked the secret of life. And the scripture says that the mystery of the ages is this: it is Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's what it says the mystery of life is. It's Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's the thing we've been searching for. Christ in you as you, which is your divine and true nature. And knowing this about yourself and bringing it to life in you is what is going to enable you to transcend all your limitations. You see, your life will be divine. It will be more abundant, more fulfilled when you consciously connect with the animating force of life, when you consciously make that divine connection with God and you take on your true identity as a son or a daughter of the Most High. But affirm it, claim it, affirm life, divine life for yourself. You got to be fearless and faithful as you move through your every experience and your every encounter. Fearless and faithful. That is, trusting then that there's a flow to life. Trusting the flow. Touching the fount of God. And when you do that, your life will unfold and express in divine and wonderful ways. But you have to take your foot off the brake, wake up, and move onward and upward. Blessings.